Hi church, welcome to Sunday service. It is a massive privilege to be back and to do life with you guys. I really trust that the Lord will give something to each and every one of us today, and that really His presence, wherever you are at, that His presence will be with you, and that the Holy Spirit will really break open the Word and come and empower you. We're still busy with the Holy Spirit series. What a privilege it is to get to know the Holy Spirit of the Lord better in this time. We're currently busy with the fruit of the Spirit, and today we continue with that as a church. I really hope that we are taking out the time and quieting down our lives to really reflect on where we're at and where the Lord is leading us, but also know that we are not alone and that the Lord is helping us. And through the Word, but also through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to really be Emmanuel, and He wants to help you and me do life. And I really trust that we are taking in and that our faith is strong in this time. So we looked at Galatians, and Galatians 5, if you go look at it, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and we're slowly but surely going through each and every one of them. And trusting that the Lord will cultivate this fruit of character, if I may say so, that we will bear that in our lives. It doesn't happen instantaneously, so have grace on yourself, but trust the Lord in the process as you seek Him, as we seek Him together, that we will, all of us, will have these fruits in our lives. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm really going to trust the Lord speak into your life today. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that that your Holy Spirit is here with us, wherever we are, whenever we listen, that as we humble ourselves to you, as we say Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of our lives, we know we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit with us. And so, Lord, thank you that even doing church, it's not a new system that we need, but we need the Spirit of the Lord to sustain us, to strengthen us, to lead us, to equip us. And so we come and say, Lord, we can't do life. We can't do life without you, Lord. Lord, whatever there is to share today, Lord, I cannot do that without the empowerment, without the anointing, without the help of the Holy Spirit. I just declare that I'm bankrupt, that I'm empty without you. I'll be found wanting if it is not for your grace today, upon this moment. So Holy Spirit, will you come powerfully and grace us with what is true, with what is honorable, with what is powerful, with what is faithful, with what is love, and with whatever you have for us that is absolute joyful. Holy Spirit, we trust you. Jesus Christ, we call on you. And God, we know that you are our perfect Father. Have your way. Lord, have your way in each and every home, in each and every family, in this church community, but also every individual that listens to this message. Have your way. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Have your way in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the foundation for our series, and especially the fruit of the Spirit, is found in John 15. You'll remember we shared that Christ said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And likewise, we need to be attached to. We need to abide in the vine, in Christ Jesus. And only through abiding, we can bear fruit. The word there says in John 15 that without Christ, we can do nothing. So I want to take off a false yoke and say, hey guys, without Jesus, without being plugged in, without abiding, you can't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so if I'm found wanting, if I realize, well, I don't have love, I don't have peace, I don't have joy in my life, I turn to Christ and say, Christ, help me to abide in you. Because it's in the abiding that we'll be fruitful. And we're trusting that the Lord will help us with that in this time. And so jumping right into it, what is joy? And do you have joy at the moment? I think everybody under the sun would like to be happy and would like to be joyful and full of joy. And there's a million and one things that we can yearn after, that we can long after, that we can run after to find happiness and joy. Yet, how many times in a life do we fall short? Do we get to a place where we found wanting, without joy, without that fulfillment. And then we just meander, then we just cruise through life, or we struggle through life without joy, without that contentment. And so I want you to be honest today again. Remember, one of the heart's cries of our church community is just the authenticity of the gospel, the authenticity of Christianity. Not saying that we always get it right, but let's be honest. The mere thing of joy is that I don't believe you can fake it. You can't really fake that you've got joy. You can try to, and obviously you can, but real biblical joy found in the Holy Spirit cannot be mimicked or faked. And so sometimes we might put on a mask, so to speak, and seem like we're joyful, seem like we're content, seem like we're living, yet we're not. And so I needed to, in this week, prepare my heart and be honest before the Lord. Let's be honest. We found in a time of pandemic, there's a shaking all around, not only for Christians, but for the whole of mankind. In our country, it feels like a lot of things are shaken. And so if you look around, sometimes you might struggle to find that joy. And so I needed to be honest. Lord, how can I authentically preach on something that I might have to fight for myself? And so I needed to get into the Word. I needed to remind myself. I needed to go back to testimonies of my life to make sure, am I truly a person of joy? Because I don't want to be found wanting before a camera saying, hey guys, we need to be all joyful and act up, yet there's no true joy in my heart. So I needed to do the honest math, and I'm calling on you to do the honest math. Do you have joy? Do you have happiness in your life? Because I trust we called for that. There's a beautiful thing that I read this week. Billy Sunday said the following: if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Now that's pretty obvious, but I want to throw that over to your side and say, hey, if you don't have any joy, even in this tough season that we find ourselves in, and you're a Christian, you're a believer, you're a follower of Christ, there's somewhere a leak in your Christianity. Now, obviously, you know the metaphor, what it refers to, but if there's no water, if there's no joy bubbling up in your life, then somewhere there's a leak at the moment. And I want us to stop and say, Holy Spirit, please, there might be a leak. I really have no joy. I haven't had joy in months. And when I do have joy or excitement, it is actually of the things of the flesh and not the things of the Spirit and of the kingdom. And so be honest in this time. John 7, you'll be reminded, Christ said, if you believe in me, if you believe in me, you will have streams of living waters flow from your belly. You will have streams of water flowing from your heart. In other words, the Holy Spirit will well up on your inside when you believe in me. And so trust in Christ. Trust in Christ. Faith in Christ gives us access to the Holy Spirit, the one that then wells up on our inside. And I believe that joy is something that should be flowing. It's not a mere choice. I've heard it said that, yeah, well, it's a choice to have joy. Yes and no. It is also in a relational welling of the Spirit's life on my inside that I cannot contain, and joy just bubbles over. It's not something you fake. It's not hype. You know, in charismatic circles, with all due respect, sometimes there's hype, which is emotion and flesh and soul, but nothing to do with the Spirit. And I'll rather be honest and say, look here, I'm down and out, I'm depressed, than trying to put up a show. And likewise, I believe there's grace for you as well. Be honest and say, Lord, I'm lacking that welling up of the Spirit, as John 7 says, so that joy can well over in my life. Somewhere there's a leak. Lord, come and attend to the leak. And so if there's a leak, we are going to trust that the Holy Spirit works at it today. Now, how do I define joy? I'm sure if I put down 100 guys, you'll get 100 different answers. But very simply, it's defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Now, firstly, a word that struck me there is feeling. Now, this is just a secular definition. Likewise, in in the Webster's dictionary, it says the emotion. So now we've got feeling and emotion. Now, you need to be careful that if we're in church here, be careful of emotions and feelings. But let's read that. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires for. So you desire for something, or you have success, or you get what you wanted, and that brings forth feelings and emotions. And so I just want to quickly stop there and maybe debunk a lie that as Christians, we need to steer clear from emotions and feelings. I believe that's an absolute lie. I believe it is just a religious spirit sometimes ministering to people. Now, obviously, you need to discern. I don't believe feelings and emotions per se is the issue. I believe the source or the reason or the basis for your joy and for your feelings and your emotions, that is what we need to look at. Emotions and feelings is pretty human. I want to say emotions and feelings is pretty godly. God gave us emotions. God gave His people feelings. He's the God that made us and made nature and gave us celebration. He's the one that gave us laughter. Who do you think, where was humor birthed? Was it a human idea or was it a God idea? Sex and intimacy. Was that a human idea or a God idea? Now, there's a lot of emotions and feelings involved in intimacy and laughter and celebration. And then obviously, unfortunately, also in tears and loss. But we are also soul beings. We are triune beings, body, soul, and spirit. And we can't neglect the fact that we have emotions and that we have feelings. They are of God, but we need to be careful what the source, the basis, or the reason is for my feelings and emotions. And so coming back to joy, it is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So it's feelings. And it's okay to have feelings. Hey guys, to all the men, the harde baarde out there, it is okay to have feelings. Not only when the blow biller scores a try, not only when the box lifts the cup. No, it is okay to have feelings and emotions. That per se is not a problem. And we want to be a people that have the feeling and the emotions of joy. But we want to make sure that the source of it, the basis of it, and where we go look for joy is of God, is of the Spirit, is eternal, and is biblical. And that's why we're doing the honest moment today, the authentic moment today, and looking into our lives and letting the Scripture and the Spirit go deep into our life to say, hey, we want to be, or we're missing that joy that the Lord is talking about. Now, the Greek word, if you look at the biblical definition, is chara, chara, if I pronounce it correctly. And that very simply is a joy that is a natural reaction to the work of God. It's a joy that is a natural reaction to the work of God, both promised or fulfilled. That's very important to remember. So it's a natural reaction. It's emotions, guys. It is emotions. It's an upwelling of feeling in the soul because I've seen and I've been connected with the work of God. But it's both in the present and future. In other words, it is both fulfilled. So a mother really longing for, waiting for the Lord to bless her with a child, having that son or daughter in her arms for the first time. Can you imagine that joy? Now that is a biblical chara joy. But also that mother praying for years and years and God giving her a prophetic word saying, for you will have a son or daughter. Now in that moment, it's a substance moment, it's a faith moment, it's a download moment of God. In that moment, that is the reality. That is the truth. In that moment, there's joy as well. So joy, biblically, can be present but future. Present and future. And that for me is so amazing. And it wells over into your emotions. You know that Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to break that open just now. But we are after that joy. An authentic joy. Not a hype. not a flesh joy, not an excitement that is fallible and will fall flat and leave you empty and dry. No, a truthful joy that is eternal and perfect. But where the kingdom comes, their joy will come. Where the kingdom comes, their joy will come. Where God's will be done, their joy will flow from our heart. In other words, if somebody gets saved and you realize and you see that moment, the kingdom has just entered in. That person has just been drawn into the family of God. They are now people that inherited the eternal life because of faith in Christ. In that moment, the kingdom came. And in that moment, there is great joy. And that is what wells up on our inside. John Piper says the following, and he breaks it down if we're still struggling to work out what this joy is. He says, Christian joy, so there can be others, but Christian joy, true joy, is a good feeling. Again, let's not worry too much about dissing feelings. It is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. I think that's a beautiful definition. So Christian joy is a feeling. And let's embrace that. Let's encounter that. Who wants to be in a relationship without no feelings? Where there's no emotion? That is nothing. That is really not the way the Lord wants it. He wants us to have these feelings. But the source, the basis, and the reason for it needs to be one that is biblical and godly and truthful. As we said, we're doing the math, we're being real with one another, we're checking our lives. Am I living? Do I know the fullness of the Holy Spirit or not? And then, as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, do I actually have joy? Or do I just put up a face? Ja, broer, ja, sister, hi, nee, man, kan nie beter gaan nie. Goed onder omstandighede. You know, all the charismatic and the cultural cliches that we might use. Or do we actually have joy? Can I put you down somewhere on a beach, or can I put you down somewhere on a street corner or in a coffee shop, and you just on your own there, just sitting down at peace, at rest, and having joy in your soul? Can you say yes to that? And I believe that's our inheritance. It is our inheritance, and I believe we need to fight for that with the Word and with the Spirit to be a people of true joy, not hype. Not excitement of the flesh that lifts you up and throws you down, but a true joy that is eternal. And so we might in our culture that we in find ourselves having joy in pride, in the flesh, in lustful things, in finance, money, investments, material wealth and gain. And we might find that we have a joy and a happiness and excitement in your hobby or in your exercise. And all of these things can lift you up and then just put you down or throw you down again. I'm not saying that all finance is bad or any intimacy is bad or any hobby is bad. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just asking, are we doing it with the Lord? Am I doing it with the Lord, or is it our flesh? Flesh, very simply, is when I seek my own, just my own life, my own kingdom. When I want to do things on my own, when I want a happiness, when I want joy, when I want satisfaction without God. Do you seek joy with the Lord? Do you seek it with Him and His kingdom? Because if we do, that's the one that will sustain us. And that is what we want today. A joy that is truthful. A joy that is wholesome, a joy that is eternal, and a joy that will not just lift you up and drop you like a sack of potatoes, but one that will sustain you and uplift you, one that you were made for, one that you were truthfully called for. And that is the joy that we want. Now we said from John 15 and even John 7, looking at the Holy Spirit, that joy is something that should flow. It should bubble up. It is something that is from the Spirit, as John Piper so beautifully says, that flows over into my soul, that is feelings and emotions, that is really amazing. But it is truthfully, and it comes from a source that is truthful. And so, joy flows. And I just want to look at, I think it's about 7 nuggets of where I believe joy should flow from in our lives. And so let's just hear what's on the Lord's heart through His Word. Firstly, and this might be pretty obvious, but joy flows when I walk by the Spirit. We know the Word says that those who walk by the Spirit will be called God's sons and daughters. And so firstly, for me to bear joy and to have this joy flowing, bubbling up and flowing over in my life, a real emotion, a real feeling in my soul, for that I need to walk by the Spirit. That simply means that I'm in relationship with Christ, relationship with God, relationship with His Spirit day by day, 24/7 in relationship. A willing relationship, not being dragged around against my will, but submitting and humbling my will and saying, Lord, I take your hand, for I know, Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and hence following after and walking by your Spirit will produce the good fruit in my life and will have the eternal effect that I've been called for. And not only me, but those whose lives I can touch. And so for me to have joy, I need to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's not saying, fight the flesh, don't do this, don't do that. It simply says, no, shift your focus. Walk with me. Walk with me. Do life with me. And you'll have to worry less and less about the flesh and the lust of the flesh. Just walk with me. Do life with me. That's what you were made for. Do life with me, and you'll have joy. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So here's a bit of a battle. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And so there's a battle, there's a struggle, there's a tug of war. But I say, shift your focus. Say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, come, take my hand and lead me. I still myself, I humble myself. I say yes to the Lordship, and the Lord leads you in that. Now coming back to Romans 14:17, which says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're going after joy. We've already dealt with peace. But we see another word there, righteous and righteousness. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's simply, and the context here refers to the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, there was clean and unclean foods, lots of rules that you needed to adhere to be in right standing with God, to have access, to have connection. Now we know that we don't have to do that anymore. Now Christ came and He fulfilled the law. He paid the perfect price for you and me. And as we have faith in Him, righteousness is restored. Boom, grace. I'm just joyful just hearing that again. And so He says, it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about adhering to the laws and the rules and regulations. It's not about all of these things. But it is unsaid here, but definitely implicitly indicated. Faith in Christ will lead you back to righteousness, right standing with God, to be in fellowship, to be in unity with God. And you know what the byproduct is? You know what the massive blessing is of being in right standing with God, of knowing you've got eternal salvation? You know what? You're going to have peace. And you know what? You're going to have real joy. So He says, the kingdom of God comes not when you do stuff right and we do it out of your own, when you try to muster up and put up a smile and make a couple of funny jokes to look joyful. This is no. You know what? You want to see the kingdom come? You want to have peace and joy? Remember Christ. Have faith in Him. Shift your focus. Realize again your whole soul is in right standing with your Maker, with God the Father. And as you realize that, you cannot but have peace. Just as I even share this, it wells up in me. A real joy comes up in my spirit. Right standing with God. And then it ends off in the Holy Spirit. And so we need to walk by the Spirit. So a good test for me is, am I in right standing with the Lord? And if I'm not, do I fix something? No, I fix my faith. I fix my eyes upon Christ again. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, focus in Him, and then you cannot but rejoice and have joy. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Look to Him, and as you realize, righteousness, salvation, eternity, my inheritance, you cannot but have joy. I can't go into the details, for the Word says, do not tell the one hand, or don't let the one hand see what the other is doing in your giving. But so often in walking in the Spirit, the Lord will lead me and lead Edna to give something, sow something, amount of money or something materially that we see somebody's got lack or need or they've been praying for. And then the Lord by grace leads us to sow into their lives. Now my flesh, or in our culture, one might think, no, you need to just rather hoard or keep it to yourself and make sure you are safe and comfortable. Yet the Spirit calls you. Say, no, no, come, come. When you selfsagtig wees, kom. This is where life will happen. This is where the kingdom will come. And the moment in unity and in faith, as we sow or give or bless, in that moment the kingdom comes. In that moment life comes. In that moment the Spirit says, yes, 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 I like this. And the Lord's joy becomes my joy. And so the world might think, what if you give something away, will you have joy? And it's not about the things. It's not about the money. It is about doing life. It's about seeing the kingdom come in someone's life with the Holy Spirit. That joy comes. And I'm thankful for those testimonies. And that helps me next time when I'm thinking, oh, really, Lord? That the Lord can just remind me, hey, my joy will be your joy. And as His joy becomes my joy, I'm strengthened. I'm strengthened again in giving. So that's the first thing. We need to walk by the Spirit to have joy. Before we look at the next nugget of where joy will flow from, I just thought to briefly stop at where joy will not flow from, or where biblical and godly and Christian joy cannot come from. And that is very simple. If you just look again in Galatians 5, it's very simple. The works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh, cannot produce true joy for any of us. And so let's quickly read Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's quite hectic. But I might quiet down and think, but sure, I have partaken in some of these things, and envy and jealousy and outbursts of wrath, and some of these things might happen and have happened in our lives. And even thinking about the lustful things mentioned here, and one, if you're honest, might think, well, some of that brought forth feelings and some of it might have been exciting. So let's be honest, let's not beat around the bush. There's some good feelings or exciting feelings that comes along with sin and the flesh. The bottom line is, if it didn't feel good, nobody would have done it, and we wouldn't have had any problems with sin. But sin and flesh sometimes feels good. At the end, it ends in death. It ends in destruction. It ends in unrighteousness and breaking my relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, and with Christ. So the end fruit of it is always death. But in the moment, or in the moments, you might think, well, that was pretty exciting. And here's where we need to be careful of emotions and feelings. Here we need to be careful of a fake joy. Because the bottom line is that sin might feel good in the moment. Those emotions might feel good in the moment. Emotions per se is not the problem, but the source and the basis and the reason for my emotions, my feeling, my excitement is what the problem is. And if it's removed from God's truth, then I know it's going to end in death. Then I know it's not good for me. And that's why my soul, my feelings, my emotions should not be the leader but the follower. I should be led by the Spirit. And my soul, my feelings, emotion should follow. But if I'm led by the flesh and these things that I've just read to us, then we're going to run into trouble. So discernment is needed. Feelings and emotions is not the problem. Sin and deception can feel good, but it doesn't make it godly. It doesn't make it right, and it will not lead to true joy. And so let's discern. But then the Holy Spirit will help us. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just confess. Say, Lord, help, and Holy Spirit, lead me to be a person of God joy and not of fleshly joy, a false joy. So let's return to what joy should flow from. Joy flows from hope. Joy flows from where and when I have hope. This is a tough season. We're honest about it. And I don't know where your hope is, but you most certainly are not going to have any joy if you've lost hope, albeit in an area or in life itself. And so let's trust the Lord to restore our hope, because out of a God hope, joy will flow. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And there's a good key there. If you go through tribulation, if you're being pushed and crushed and pressured from all sides, stay in prayer. For in prayer and communion with the Lord, you will see again, He will help you again, He will restore hope again, so that you can have joy and rejoice in that hope. Because Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so just a quick testimony. I had stood in faith for a promise that I believe the Lord gave me, and I still do, but for a number of years. And as I believed the manifestation or the breakthrough of this promise were coming closer, it was that more intense than ever. And I prayed about it, and I did everything humanly possible and even supernaturally possible that I thought I could. And I had such a good expectation for what will happen. And at the end of the day, the breakthrough and the shift that I trusted the Lord for didn't happen in the way I had hoped for. And I was really disappointed. I didn't sense it in the moment. I just mustered on. I just soldiered on. But in retrospect, I realized I really was disappointed. And so I took a knock, and I lost a lot of my hope in the process. And that started to ooze out. It started to bleed in my soul. That affected my emotions. It affected a lot of my life, unknowingly, until people lovingly in accountability and in prayer prophetically just spoke into my life saying, teleurstelling, disappointment. I'm like, what? And then I started to take this to the Lord, and I realized, yes, I was really disappointed in that time, and I kind of lost hope. And obviously, as I lost hope because of this process, I lost joy. But as the Lord restored, and I realized, well, maybe I had the timing wrong. Maybe there's something else that the Lord will do through this. As the Lord stirred my heart again and restored my hope, joy returned to my life. Where else does joy flow from? Joy flows from where you can see. I'm asking you again, what are you seeing? Are you seeing Media 24? Are you seeing the papers? Are you seeing social media? Are you seeing the economy and politics and stats on pandemics? What are you seeing? What are you looking at? What are you seeing in this time? Because it will determine your joy. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now, there's a joy. We don't see Him, but we see Him. We don't see Christ, but we see Him in faith. The eyes of our faith, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit see Him. We commune with Him. He's not come back physically yet. But we still have faith. And so in looking to the world, one might forget, one might be cluttered and blinded, so to speak, not to see Christ anymore. And you lose, again, faith, you lose hope, and you struggle to have joy. And so I'm asking you, hey, are you seeing Jesus? Are you still seeing Jesus in this time? Because I pray you do. More than any other season, I pray you do. John 16:22. Beautifully says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, this Jesus at word, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So when He does return, so we see Him in faith, we have a relationship with Him by the Holy Spirit now, spiritually speaking, but when He physically, when He in fullness returns and restore all, our joy will be complete, our joy will be eternal, and nobody will steal it from us in that time. I remember a time, just a quick testimony, where I had to leave my job as a corporate lawyer because I was pursuing what the Lord had called us for. And so I needed to leave salary, what I thought that I might become one day and the career. And most of you know the story by now. And so as months went by and later on 5 years without a real job went by, I could easily get sucked down and lose hope of what I saw in the natural. But by grace, in prayer and lots of time with the Lord constantly asked me to just to lift my gaze. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the earth, not on the things of the earth. Set your eyes on the things above and not beneath. And so in this season, more than ever, you need to see. And you need to see the things above and not beneath. So as you see the things above, joy by the Spirit can flow. So joy should flow from where we see. Joy will flow from when you hear. Joy will flow from when you hear. I might as well just put this scripture in every single sermon of my life, but I love it. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the King James. The New King James says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of